So please turn with me in your copy of the Word of God to Matthew chapter 10. And we'll pick up the reading in the second half of the chapter. From Matthew 10. Verse 16, we'll read to the end of the chapter. This is the Word of God. Behold, Jesus says, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men. They will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will be even brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. Whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign the members of his household? Therefore do not fear them. There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul, or sorry, soul and body, in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground, apart from your Father? The very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, your word contains many difficult passages. We pray this evening, O God, that you would grant me wisdom to unpack the teaching of this scripture, to apply it to my own heart and to the hearts of your people, so that we would be strengthened to suffer hardship as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. Give us grace to be faithful, even unto death, for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the Christian life, suffering is inevitable. Paul tells us that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Not might or could or perhaps, but will. We see this here in Christ's words as well. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. He says, beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in the synagogues. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And one of the reasons Jesus says that suffering is so inevitable is that it comes, in a mysterious sense, from God in heaven. Jesus says, I came to set a man against his father and daughter, against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the enemies of his own household. And remember, I'm reminded of Genesis 3:15, the proto-euangelion, where God says, I will set enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. There is, in a real sense, God stirs up enmity between the world and his people. And one of the reasons for it is to keep them separate. Helps us know where the battle lines are drawn and to encourage the church to grow in holiness. But suffering is inevitable. And modern history bears out the truth of Christ's words, you will be hated by all for my sake. I was reading recently in Desiring God by John Piper, the chapter on suffering, and he quotes the experience of a man called Wulayita in Africa. And this is in the early 80s when the communists took over part of Africa, and he and the Christians were arrested for Christ's sake. And he was made, and the Christians with him, he was a pastor, he was made to walk on his bare knees the 1.5 kilometre distance from the prison to the local town every day for a month. On his bare knees. And the road was gravel. He said, the blood flowed from our wounds like fountains. And after the second day, we felt nothing. I'm sure the first 2 days were awful painful. On your bare knees. Yuan Mengen, who's a girl in China, a lady, her story is one of the stories recorded in this book called The Heavenly Man that Anne Klein gave me, which has been a very convicting book to read. Sister Huan Mengen came from one of the wealthiest families in Shanghai. She was a widow with 2 young children, a son aged 11 and a daughter aged 9, when she was imprisoned in 1967. After a year in prison, the PSB, which is a government kind of group against religion, the PSB thought they would have compassion on her. The chief warden said, this past year you've shown excellent conduct, so now we plan to reward you. All you have to do is write a confession of your crimes and you'll be free to go home and take care of your children. Surely your God would want you to take care of your own flesh and blood. The authorities arranged for her children to visit the prison. As soon as Sister Huan saw them, her heart was torn and tears of love welled up in her eyes. The authorities asked her, what do you want? Your Jesus or your children? If you want Jesus, you'll stay in this prison. If you want your children, you can go home. They gave her a pencil and a piece of paper and asked her to write down her choice. When they read what she had written, they were amazed to find she had stated in large words, Jesus cannot be replaced. Even my own children cannot replace Jesus. Sister Wen chose to stay in prison. The warden shouted, listen, you kids, your mother has rejected you. She doesn't love you. Sister Wen was sentenced to a further 23 years in prison. When she was released in 1981, her son was 34 years old and worked in a government job in Tibet. Sister Wen hadn't seen either of her children even once in all those intervening years. Her son had been taken by the state and raised in atheistic schools and had been told his mother had disowned him. Many Christians had visited him and shared with him the gospel, but he always responded by saying, your Jesus took my mother away from me. Why should I believe in him? Sister Wen travelled to Tibet to find her son. He rejected her, screamed that he had no mother, and pushed her from his home. She has never seen her son again. The path of following the Lord Jesus Christ is not an easy one. Brother Yun, who's a pastor, says this. It's not an easy one. Along the way lies suffering and hardship, but nothing we experience will ever compare to the suffering Jesus endured for us on the cross. Then he adds these very thought-provoking words. I have a problem with the prosperity teaching prevalent today, which tells us if we follow the Lord, we'll be safe and comfortable. This is completely contrary to Scripture, as well as to our experiences in China. In addition to serving years in prison, I've been arrested about 30 different times for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Send Creflo Dollar to China and his health and wealth message and see how he goes down with the brothers there. One time, he's been in prison for years, Brother Yun. One time, he was arrested and he was in a meeting on a second or third story in this building, and he came in and the government troops were already there, and he ran and jumped out of the window feet first to escape, landed on the ground, broke both his legs. They took him to prison, and when they had him in prison, the judge asked him, "Will you try and escape?" And he said, "Christ has called me to preach the gospel. I must try to escape." And the judge said, "We'll see about that." And he had him taken to a room with his broken legs, and they beat his legs with baseball bats until they were black beneath his legs, beneath his knees, totally shattered. And every day they would take him. He was in solitary confinement, and one of his two Christian friends were tasked to carry him from his cell to the torture room to be further tortured for the gospel. And he said he lived for those short visits when he could talk with his friends from solitary confinement to the torture room because he had some time of Christian fellowship. "You'll be hated by all because of my name," Jesus says. If that kind of thing happened in America, how would we endure? How would I endure? And God has given us various scriptures. One of them, here in Matthew 10, has given us various scriptures to help us and to strengthen us in times of persecution. And I want to give you a very brief overview of this chapter of Scripture, the second half, because it contains three lessons of how to endure persecution. Three principal ingredients that we will need if we are to endure hardship as soldiers of Christ Jesus. And the first is wisdom. We'll need wisdom. You see that from verse 16 to verse 23. Behold, Jesus says, "I myself," it's a very emphatic verb in the Greek, "I myself send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." What does Christ mean by these words? He's telling us that you are not to run stupidly and lemming-like into martyrdom. You are to be wise. But in your wisdom, dealing with this world, you are not to allow your wisdom to lead you into sinful compromise. There's a balance between shrewdness and yet maintaining your innocence, your moral purity before God. As one commentator put it, the church is to hold the line between self-preservation and self-sacrifice. This is a matter for both prudence and purity. We need wisdom. We need to be shrewd. What kinds of situations will require wisdom? Jesus says two. First of all, you will need wisdom to know whom you can trust. Jesus says, "Beware of men. They will hand you over." And this persecution won't just come from the state. It'll also come from your nearest and dearest. Your mother, your father, your husband even, your wife, your children will betray you. And Jesus tells you to beware of who you trust. But there's a balance here, because if you trust no one, if you don't share the gospel with anyone, then you'll be locking yourself in a self-imposed silence. So you need wisdom to know when to speak and when to remain silent, when to share with someone your Christian faith, and when to be more circumspect. Another time you will need wisdom is to know when to stand and when to run. Jesus assumes that we will be captured. He promises that in those days of capture, God will be with us, and the Spirit of our Father will help us and give us wisdom to speak for God in those moments. And yet he says in verse 23, whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. And by that coming, I believe Christ is speaking about his coming to heaven in his ascension. It's the only explanation that really fits. And if you doubt that, you can talk to me afterwards, I'll talk you through it, but I don't want to distract you from the main point. Whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. You see, Christ is saying here that there's no need, in one sense, to play chicken with the juggernaut of state-sponsored persecution. When persecution comes, run. J.C. Ryle, in his book about the times of the early Reformation, when people were being burned at the stake in England, makes the very shrewd comment that many of the martyrs did not need to die. They could have run. And they were foolish not to obey Christ's commandments. You don't have to throw yourself into the teeth of the state and allow yourself to be slaughtered stupidly. But yet there's a time to stand and a time to run. And how do you know the difference? Wisdom. Wisdom. I think the key is found in a heart's desire to obey Christ's call. Jesus says, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. A desire also to be like our master. Jesus says in verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It's enough for the disciple that he becomes like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they call the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign the members of his household? And so I think wisdom comes to us whenever we are desirous to obey the call of Christ, not just save our own necks, and we're desirous to be faithful in likeness to our master, and to obey his call to engage in gospel ministry, when our desire is to extend the kingdom of God, not just save our neck, then we can have a pretty good confidence, I think, that we're not using wisdom as a cloak to cover our cowardice. But it does take great wisdom to be as wise as a serpent, and yet innocent and pure as a dove, to walk the line between self-preservation and self-sacrifice and prudence and purity. We'll need wisdom. And of course, Jesus says, or James tells us, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. It's one of the reasons why I think it's so important that we have a midweek prayer meeting. Because we need as a church to be praying together. One of the things we'll pray together for is wisdom to live godly lives in Christ. Part of that wisdom will teach us when to stand and when not to stand. It was, I think, in my own previous ministry, I lacked this wisdom at times. There's a difference between being bold for God and being obnoxious for God. And there were some times I dealt with subjects in the pulpit that really wisdom would have dictated that I leave alone. There are certain battles to fight. You can't fight battles on all fronts. Hitler found that out in the Second World War. Not that I'm comparing myself to Hitler. But, you know, there's a serious case of wisdom necessary. And Jesus says there are some things to his disciples, I want to tell you, but you're not yet able to bear them. So even as a pastor, as a session, we need wisdom to know when to deal with issues. One of the reasons why I didn't preach on the Lord's Day until I was quite far into the ministry, because I wanted you to know me and trust me and know that I wasn't merely some crazy man from Ireland, but that I was, I trust, faithful in dealing with the Scriptures. So we need wisdom. We also need courage. That's our second element that we need. That's really a no-brainer. I mean, can you imagine choosing between Christ and your children? The very thought, I was sitting with my feet up today, having great tribulation in the living room, my feet up, I was preparing my sermon, and Aaliyah was climbing over my legs, and she was standing on my shins, and there's only like, you know, a millimetre of flesh between her foot and my shin bone, and it was painful. I was going, ouch, you can get off. kind of thing. But there's all the different things, a layer and a baseball bat. I can't imagine. And courage, we need courage. Jesus says here in verse 26 and also in verse 31, do not fear them. Verse 31, do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. We need courage to endure persecution. Where does this courage come from? It comes up here and in here as you know truths about God. That's the only place courage can come from. Christian courage is a rational courage that's based upon the God we know, the God that has revealed himself in his words. Listen as Jesus gives reasons. He says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign the members of his household? Therefore, do not fear them. See, courage comes when you know why you're being persecuted. You're being persecuted, Christ says, because they persecuted me first. It's a badge of Christ-likeness. That's important to know because, let's face it, we're sinners. You're always going to look back over tribulation and think, I could have said that better, I could have done this better. And you begin to think, maybe it was my fault, all this persecution. Maybe in your work, your boss doesn't like the way you say grace at your mealtime, or you say Lord willing, or God bless me, and things like that. And your boss might put pressure on you. There's a story about that in the First Peter book that the ladies have been studying in their Bible study about a girl being persecuted in her work by her boss. And when those things happen, you end up thinking, you know, maybe I was stupid, maybe I could handle that better. And you know, you think like that. But Christ is saying, you've got to know in your head, it's not you. You aren't the problem. I'm the problem, Christ says. And knowing that will give you courage not to fear them when persecution happens. Another thing that will give you courage, Jesus says, is the certainty of the gospel going forth and of the reality of this universe being revealed in the last day. See that there in verse 26 and 27. Therefore, do not fear them, for there's nothing concealed that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. The suffering you've endured will one day be shown before the angels and the archangels and the spirits of just men made perfect. And on that day, the beatings you've received will be badges of honour. And the rejection that you received in the world will be evidence of your reception in heaven. And there'll be joy and singing in heaven when these things are made known. We need to have that in our minds. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. These hidden sayings of Christ will be proclaimed in the world, and the gospel shall go forth. Another thing to think about when suffering comes is the fact that a very worse fate awaits your torturers. Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now you might think those words are basically saying, you know, you better be faithful, preacher, because if you're not, God will damn you in hell. I mean, they may destroy your body on earth, but if you're not faithful, God's going to send you to hell. That's not what's being said there. The whole concept is one of comfort. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent and so forth, and your father caring for you? The point is this, Jesus says, the worst your torturers can do to you is destroy your body. Your heavenly Father is looking down from them on heaven, and a worse fate awaits for them. He can destroy their souls. You're on the right side of the equation. Think also of the great truth of God's providence. Nothing can rob you of God's providence. one of the sayings the Puritan Thomas Carlyle would say to his children in his household, nothing, you cannot be robbed of God's providence. Nothing can pluck you from the Father's hand. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. See, so do not fear. Because of this truth that God thinks you're precious and you're valuable to God, because of that truth in your mind and in your heart, Jesus says, have courage. That's one of the reasons why we're putting up this new Sunday school program. We want to teach you the Bible and theology and the stories of church history and people who have gone before us and who have suffered faithfully for Christ Jesus. And we do that not just because we want to build the Frozen Chosen, but because we believe that the Christian faith is founded upon what we know about God. We live the way we live because we believe the way we believe. And we want to feed your mind to strengthen you so that you might be able to stand times of hardship like this. Think also, Jesus says, of eternity. Everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father. When you're suffering for Christ, remember, the world may reject you, but I shall receive you in heaven, Jesus says. Much better to be rejected by man in time than to be rejected by Christ in eternity. Do not be time wise and eternally foolish. Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. So that's the second thing. We need wisdom and we need also courage. And courage flows from what we know about God. We've got to feed our souls continually, not with our circumstances, that leads to doubt and fear, but to reach through the bitterness of life and lay hold of the goodness and faithfulness of God. Reach through the suffering that you do experience, and you can see and you can feel, and lay hold of the greatness and goodness of God that you can't always see and you can't always feel, but you know it's true because of the Word of God. And that's the power of faith. It makes the unseen realities visible to our eyes in this world. And the final thing we need to endure hardship, not just wisdom and courage, we also need commitment to Christ. We need to be committed to Christ more than anything, more than anyone else in this world. We need commitment to the person of Christ. Jesus says, therefore, everyone who confesses me before man, the person of Christ. We need commitment also to the cross of Christ. He who does not take up his cross, verse 38, and follow after me is not worthy of me. We follow a crucified Saviour, and following him, we carry the cross with him. And we need commitment also to the servants of Christ, the end of the chapter. He receives you, receives me. He receives me, receives him who sent me. He receives a prophet in the name of a prophet to receive a prophet's reward. And he receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man to receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. It's amazing, you know, you discover who your friends are in times of persecution. And it's very humbling as you read this book how many Christians want nothing to do with Brother Yun for fear of persecution. There's one time in prison, I'll not detain you with it, but he's in prison and in these cells of 10 prisoners per cell. And the prisoners were told that if you're mean to him, and if you reject him, and if you will rat him out, as it were, we will reduce your sentence and be kind to you, give you extra food. And so the prisoners did terrible things to him. They took his blankets, his bed linen, and put them in the latrine, in the cesspool. And there wasn't just urine in there. He had to sleep on this awful stuff. This plague came through the prison where the men were infected with lice. Actually, Brother Yun was spared. They had lice and scabies. And one of the men was covered in boils and pus and wounds. And he took his blanket and took Brother Yun's blanket and made Brother Yun sleep with his pussy off of the old blanket. And Brother Yoon loved them, was kind to them. When they were hungry and they had no food, he would share his food with them. And eventually his love was such that one time he preached the gospel to them. And the whole cell were converted in the ministry. But you discover in times of persecution who your friends really are. And Jesus calls us to be committed to his people, because the Father sees you take a persecuted saint into your home, even you give him a cup of cold water. The Father sees it. He says, ah, there's one of my servants. He's not ashamed of me. He's not ashamed of my son, because he's not ashamed of my suffering servants on this world. Remember how Paul says, this is in 1 Timothy. Timothy, he says, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of me. Imagine that. Timothy faces the temptation of being ashamed of the Apostle Paul. How Paul says at the end of his life, all who were in Asia, the church at Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, all who were in Asia have forsaken me. But the Lord has stood with me, Paul says. We need to be committed to Christ. And that's really the value of persecution, brothers and sisters. Persecution shows us what is the most important thing in our lives. Look at your life and add up all of the things that make life worth living. That is what is your life. You take all those things away from someone and they will lose the will to live. And Jesus says, he who has found his life, he who has found his life, as it were, down here in the various things that most men live for, he who has found his life will lose it. But he who has lost his life for my sake, he who has come to see that all of the things down here that most people live for, the smiles of men, the joys of family, the pleasures of this life, money, possessions, power, all of these things, whenever you face the loss of all of these things for the sake of Christ, you find out whether or not you really believe that Christ is worth the loss of all these things. Would you be willing to let go of everything in this world that you might receive everything in Christ? And persecution, more than anything else, will teach you that lesson. It's very easy to have money and possessions, and all of the stuff of this life, and power, and a good reputation, and all of those things, and have this and hold Christ. And we all do that. I do that. You do that. In our comfort. But whenever the devil comes to take away everything and leave us only Christ, just like Sister Yoon, we find out whether or not Christ is really everything to us. And that is the heart of what Christ means. Unless a man deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, he can by no means be one of my disciples. And that's really the question this evening. Jesus says, am I, the Lord Jesus Christ, worth dying for? For if I'm not worth dying for, then I'm not worth living for. And until a man is ready to die for Christ, he's not really ready to live for him. He may think he is, but he's not really. And this message this evening searches me deeply. It really does. How much do I really value Christ? Have a comfortable life. Very comfortable life. I enjoy the comfort of life. I don't want to get beaten to death. I don't want to get rejected and despised and hated by men. I don't want to lose my family. But Jesus calls us to count the cost. For the answer to the question, what do you really think of Jesus, will one day be revealed. Nothing is hidden today, Christ says, that will not ultimately be revealed. And so it's very important, brothers and sisters, as you answer the question tonight,
just how valuable is Jesus Christ to you. Can you say with the Apostle Paul, life means Christ to me? When you're thinking about that decision, Jesus says, remember this, I was not ashamed of you and your sin. I demonstrated my love for you in that while you were yet sinners, I died for you. I stood with you in the shame of your sin. Can you not stand with me this night and the shame of the cross? It's but a brief moment. These sufferings, Jesus says, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Can you see that? Can you believe that? It's true. God cannot lie. If it were not so, Christ says, I would have told you, in my Father's house there are many mansions. Unless a man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, he can by no means be my disciple.